Welcome back to Cargumentative, a show on which three out of four men know nothing about clean jerking. Chat to you all about things, cars and automotive.
We really don't know.
Yeah, we don't.
I know a fair amount.
Do you? Clean jerking or free jerking?
Sure. No. You make it dirty.
I'm not making it dirty. You're making it dirty by saying it's
clean,
dirty.
Clean and jerk is a crossword.
All right.
Okay.
I'm Mark. This is Mark.
I'm Thomas.
Nadav's not here.
Yeah, Nadav's not here.
So we must be having. You can keep us in check.
I have to...
Actually, Mark and I have been told not to... Sorry, you see?
You see, talk
not
over
to
people.
Talk over each other. Oh, it's
I wouldn't swear
me.
That I can't. It's
I'm
family
sorry.
Podcast.
You can say shit.
Oh, really?
You can say shit.
Really? That's cool.
You can say cuck.
Really? That's cool.
But you can't say f***.
Beautiful. That's great. I have to try something new on the show.
Yeah.
This evening. I have to just announce, because apparently people don't read bios.
You know...
When they click on podcasts.
We want to try something.
Yeah.
We're experimenting.
So, tonight... On Cargumentative.
You sound like Jeremy Clarkson.
I'm trying, yeah.
No, you got to say it with a bit more gusto.
You think so?
Yeah.
Tonight on Cargumentative.
Yeah, good.
We talk about some new Lexi, Mike's latest disaster, and Mike's latest overseas driving adventures.
Lovely.
How's that?
Like an exciting show.
How's that, eh? Yeah. This is my show tonight.
I'll stay tuned in. I would stay tuned in.
Would you?
Yeah. I would. I'm definitely going to stay tuned in.
Paige, would you stay tuned in? Two thumbs
Paige.
Up.
All right, so news. Mike, I think, sent me a picture of it today, but I'd already put something up about the new BMW X6. You seen it?
I have.
Phew.
I saw the back of it.
Yeah.
Is that that picture?
Do you like that, huh?
No.
No.
It looks like a Prius on stilts.
Could an X6 ever have got worse?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, and funny enough, I think the X6 was quite groundbreaking in its shape. I mean, it was, you know, it was sort of like a coupe type shape on stilts, like they look quite aggressive looking, and over time it's just become an amorphous blob, and now, like, to be honest, they're just trying to fetch things. I swear, like, in terms of styling.
Do you know what is quite cool about it, though? There is one cool thing about this car.
Tell us, Tom.
The kidney grills. They can be illuminated.
Oh, my God.
So at night time.
Is that cool, though?
Kind of, it's good. Yeah, it is kind of cool.
I don't know if that's cool.
I'm not sure.
I quite like that.
I don't know about it.
It appeals to the gay in me.
I do think that an X6 is pretty pointless. Like, why wouldn't you have an X5? Why would you have an X6? So an X6 effectively is a coupe.
It's a less practical version because it's got a sloping roofline. And
it's got a center console between the two back seats.
Yeah.
So you can't fit in a third person in the back.
It's for Bedford View gangsters.
Well, no, look, everyone's getting on it. Yeah, everyone's getting in on it. I mean, Porsche's about to take deliveries of the first Cayenne coupes.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I really liked the original X6. I thought it was different. You know, it was the first car that came out in a while that had something different in terms of a shape.
Are you that one person that liked it?
Possibly.
Must have been. Yeah.
I think you should add one to your collection. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Something.
Wifey needs a new car. Yeah.
No, well, I actually need a car. I need a car for Rim Run next year.
Complicated.
We're going to.
You're taking the bus.
Pontedoro.
Take the bus.
Can't. Apparently, you need a 4x4.
Also, get a chimney.
Also, the bus has proven to be...
Isn't the Diablo a 4x4?
Yes, it is. Well, it was.
It's four-wheel drive. More.
But, the bus has proven to be far less practical for long journeys than I thought.
Even short journeys.
Even with the fuel fumes.
No, and that's not
still
the problem.
Feel
the problem is that it doesn't go over 90 k's an hour. So, like, wherever you're going to be going...
But that time that you revved it to 11, I think you got to about 100. You put two rods through the block.
A long trip in that car is from Mike's house to the Cargumentative studio.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because it's a long walk home.
Mm. All right. Moving on with the news. You guys like motorbikes.
We do. I do.
You do. Mike does.
Mike loves them.
Mike's...
He just he wants one. He just can't have one.
He's not allowed to have one.
He's put that rule in himself.
Yes, I've put that.
Did you like the Suzuki Katana when it came out back in the day?
I didn't.
I didn't,
but I've seen the new one.
Have you seen the new one?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's a nice.
I don't know what you're talking about. Please tell me about it.
Show him a picture.
Suzuki.
No. So the Katana
was an 80s. So it was the first attempt at kind of fairing on a bike. Strange looking thing. Anyway, they've launched a retro, what do you call it, retro mod?
Yeah, like you can see. I mean, that's like a dead giveaway.
I think the new one looks much better than the old one.
You would recognize that front light.
That looks like a KTM.
It does, kind of, because it's all square.
It's kind of Catan, but I mean, you can definitely see. I mean, I'm not that,
that
familiar
it.
With
the lineage. Is there.
Yeah, but it says so. That's been launched in South Africa.
It's got a GSX 1000 motor. I think. Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Actually, yeah. I like it. 184,000 rand. Would you spend that money on one?
I think bikes have become very expensive. Right?
Everything's become expensive.
I suppose. Yeah.
Here's one I have to put in.
Oh God.
Lexus.
Okay.
The RCF and RCF Track Editions were launched in SA. Both powered by 5-liter V8s, 351 kilowatts.
So that's the RC500s now souped up versions.
Pretty,
which we loved. The RC500 had a naturally aspirated V8.
It still does.
Yeah, and what a 9-speed gearbox.
You think of the LC.
So can you take it on the track and not lose your motor plan?
Do you remember when I had the Lexus RC350 earlier this year? So this is like the meaner version of that.
That's not Mike showing us something else. Yeah. Which is a what?
That's a DeLorean. We'll get onto that now. But
these bad boys.
So track edition. So
those are very cool.
Look at that.
But I think
listen, I've always said Lexus make lovely looking cars.
So what is this? What's the story behind the track thing? So I mean, today I saw that Aston Martin has released a track edition of the Vantage. So it comes in 5 different liveries, which are sort of historic liveries. So you'll have like that racing, that green color with a little bit of orange on it, and then there's a golf one, and I mean like the green one that was at Le Mans. So with these things here, do these link back to any kind of racing program?
No, well, the track edition just means you get a more focused setup in terms of suspension. So the track edition has front lower spoiler for more downforce, carbon fiber body bits, suspension tweaks. So it's the more focused version.
Cool. Still got the naturally aspirated V8.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And pricing, so the RCF is 1.3 mil. It's not too bad.
So actually. I actually found out today that new pricing on the 718 GT4 starting at about 1.45, which makes that very good value.
It does.
Yeah.
For a V8, you're getting a really nice, well-specced, naturally aspirated V8. That's cool. I like that.
So that would be a 911 competitor. It is. It is.
So a friend of ours is at the Goodwood Festival of Speed today.
Lots of cars coming out there.
Lots of cars, but the one that I'm looking at now is possibly one of the most beautiful cars I've ever seen. And the reason for me it's so special is that it looks a lot like the Ferrari P4, which was a late 60s Le Mans type car, racing car. This thing's called the Di Tommaso P72. And if you ask me, like it really was inspired by that car, because if you look at the vents on the side and that, I mean, it just is absolutely magnificent. So I really do recommend going and have a look at it.
So Di Tommaso was an Argentinian car manufacturer. Yep. Who owns them now? I mean, I wonder if they're still owned by the same people or I don't know.
I'm not sure, but
they were Argentinian and they used American.
But
muscle.
They had a clever idea because they had like that exotic Mediterranean styling combined with bulletproof American engines.
Absolutely brilliant.
So you know that's how it should be. And I remember when I was a lighty, although some would say I still am, going through the paper version of Auto Trader because the internet wasn't around back then.
It used to be fun, yeah.
And you used to find the Tommaso
Panteras
for like
70K,
80K, and you thought
they were very unloved.
I don't know how much they go for.
No, they've definitely come back and they are very sought after now.
Yeah,
how much
the Mangusta is the remember the Mangusta we went on a drive with the guy who had one. Goes up for sale at Crosby & Webb in Cape Town.
And it's gorgeous the way that car opens up at the back.
Yeah, like a gullwing.
Basically, the engine bay is a gullwing.
I like those cars.
Amazing. And they got, cool. I think they've got Chevrolet power.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think they do.
So what else came out this week?
Honda E something, which you would enjoy.
Yeah, the Honda E prototype. Not E prototype, the Honda E.
Which is a little...
Like a modern-day Civic.
Four-seater, two-door.
A retro-inspired version of the original Civic.
Brilliant.
Very cool.
Because it's very, very close to production and looks very futuristic.
It does.
One of the big talked-about points, I suppose, okay, it's fully electric, but it's also got no side mirrors. It's got cameras. It's got
which makes sense. I mean, to be honest.
Why not?
Cameras are...
With high-res screens.
A lot more.
Which makes it expensive.
They say £40,000. No,
but hold on. Is this that little like retro looking thing?
Yeah. Like an original Civic. Yeah,
that's cool.
I think it's a cool thing.
Yeah, it is cool.
200 mile. What do you call it?
200 miles.
It does 200 miles. Yeah.
You sure about
that? Yeah, the range.
200 kilometers.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, interestingly enough, you guys were talking about fuel economy. I actually filled up the 930 today, and I realized that I had zeroed the clock when I did it last time. So including a drive to Pretoria and back, which was like a 120-odd-k round trip, I got 301 k's on 62 litres. Not bad. It's like a diesel.
Are you sure 62 litres?
No, it's an 80-litre tank.
Yeah, but you obviously wasn't empty.
I wasn't empty.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's not bad. No, it's not bad.
20 litres for 100 k's.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's
highway driving.
That's, I mean, what's not the bad. Diablo?
About 100 litres per 100 k's.
30.
10 litres per... No, yeah.
On the open road.
Bad. Yeah, it's bad.
Mitsubishi. Yeah. You guys like Mitsubishi?
I do. My wife drives one.
Yeah, you do, actually. You've Mitsubishi is apparently plotting a new Lancer Evo.
Ooh.
And it'll be available as a saloon and a hatch.
Nice.
And it's probably going to be based on the Megane RS platform.
Oh, really good.
Yeah, and it'll have a 48-volt mild hybrid system as well.
So Renault and Mitsubishi shared architectures and stuff before?
They're part of the alliance, so Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi.
Yeah, cool. Only four cars are made in the world at the moment.
Yeah, everything's either a VW or a Fiat
or a Renault.
Or a Renault, it looks like, Okay, so it's going to have an inline four, like,
It'll have the 2 liter. It'll just be out of the Renault.
Which is amazing.
So you're gonna have a Mitsubishi that's gonna finally have the reliability of a Subaru.
No,
the other way around.
The other way around.
Wow, it's French. That thing's tickets now. It's tickets.
I get it. He was being sarcastic.
Nice.
I'm being very sarcastic.
I mean, okay. Last bit of news. Quick. I'll keep it brief. New Renault Capture came up. You guys like that?
Like no.
What is that?
I mean, like, it's basically a little SUV thing.
It's like it's Renault's version of the Qashqai.
The Kumquat.
The Qashqai.
Yeah, so it's rubbish. Front wheel drive.
New platform. It's an SUV.
Yeah, but it's cool. Not. It hasn't got any sports capabilities.
What do you mean sports capabilities?
It's good at driving in the rain. That's like it's.
Well, you know, if you want sports capability, then go and buy.
No, but why do you have SUVs then? An SUV is supposed to have big ground clearance and go off-roading. They can go off-road if it tries.
Psychological.
It's psychological.
Somebody thinks they can
for ramping pavement.
I can now see over that 4C. Yeah. So now, therefore...
It's not hard to see over a 4C.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. All
right, guys, that's it for the news. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about Mike's latest automotive blunder.
Join me, Paul Ash, in a beautiful soundscape as we explore the world in the Sunday Times Travel Podcast. Find it at sundaytimes.co.za.
To advertise on the Cargumentative Podcast, simply email us at smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za. That's smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za.
Welcome back to Cargumentative.
Thanks for having us back.
Oh, it's great to have you guys back.
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah?
You're one of those guys who you know, kind of goes out on a limb on occasion and buys these interesting cars. Sometimes they work.
Did you use interesting in inverted commas?
Yeah, sometimes they don't work at all.
I think Mike likes a challenge.
Mike does like a challenge. Some would call them blunders, but this latest one actually might not be as bad as we all think it is. Do you want to tell what you bought?
Okay, so let me just set a little bit of context here. So
I love it when you put it into context.
I'm one of those people. You know, everyone has like an angel and a devil on shoulder. I don't think I got an angel. So I think I've definitely got that devil, and now I've got an idiot called Warwick. who sits with the devil on my shoulder. So now he prods me to go and buy stuff. So what we said was, and I've done this once before, and it's actually quite fun. We said, let's go and start off with a little bit of a kitty. Let's buy something, and we'll trade up. So we started off, and we bought a parcel of cars, which was a Boxster and a 5 Series Touring. Anyhow, the Boxster didn't work. We tried it. We sold out. We didn't lose any money. We took the 5 Series Touring. We used that as currency, and now we've traded up into a Mercedes 600 CL, which is a V12. Now, wow. What's happened is
I said to Mark, holy crap,
like I said, we wanted to use it as currency to trade up. So this is like a little bit of fun for us. All right.
That was like, I don't know, Zim dollar or something.
Okay,
man.
So like in fairness, Warwick is questionable in the kinds of things that he brings to me. But having said that,
he's like a dog bringing you a dead bird.
No, we've actually got two very cool cars together. We've got a 928S Porsche and we've got a BMW 745, which are both fantastic, and those are long term keepers for me. I mean, I don't want to sell either of those cars.
I like that Porsche.
Okay, so anyhow, what happened was, we said on the CL we were going to get it running. There were a couple of issues on it, and we fixed all the things. We got, there was nothing big. It needed a water pump and some control arms, and basically needs a windscreen, which I just mentioned. Unfortunately, PG Glass lost the windscreen, and they have to replace it at a substantial cost. Anyhow, so what's happened is there's a Porsche that's come available, and it's a stories car. So it's a 1978 911 SE Targa, which is a 3-liter. Beautiful color. It's called moss green, which is like a very deep green. It's beautiful, actually, but it's really tatty on the interior. The bodywork's not terrible. It's got 16-inch Fuchs, which have actually been painted the same color as the body. And this is when it starts getting a little bit interesting.
I was going to say, what is the best feature about this?
So this car it has a non-matching numbers engine, which means that it doesn't have the same engine that it left the factory with. Mm. But this car has been modified, so it has had a turbo fitted to it.
Amazing.
And with an intercooler. So
they had the decency.
Does it have a whale tail?
It does have a whale tail. So it's okay. But it actually, and so interesting, it's got a 3.2 Carrera whale tail, and it's an original Porsche one, which is actually quite a valuable piece, but I don't really like Targas with tails on them.
I think they look awful.
I thought you were going to stop it. I don't really like Targas.
No, Targas, actually, I don't have a problem with. So I went, and we've got a deal pending, which I'm hoping it does come off, where we're going to potentially trade the CL into it. Into the Targa with a bit of a cash adjustment. Now let's just talk about. I went to drive that car today, and I got to say, it's an absolute laugh.
What is it like? Because you own a proper 930 turbo,
and I went to the test drive in the 930.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is that I haven't driven a G spec, which is the impact bumper 911. Narrow body for a while, and the reality of it is that that is just a much more pleasant drive than a 930. 930 is wide, it's heavy, because it's 4-speed, it's so laggy that it's actually quite a challenge to drive. So I went to drive this thing, and to be honest, I expected it to be an absolute disaster. But the cool thing about Porsches is that even when they're not perfect, they're still really good. And this thing, as I say, is a complete laugh to drive, because it's just, first of all, the 5-speed gearbox works nicely with it. It gets onto boost, and it makes the most stupid sound when it boosts. I'm not sure. But the thing just went really, really nicely. It's got some real issues. I mean, like the bushing that holds the steering wheel is not quite there, so there's about 10 centimeters of upward-downward movement if you grab the wheel. Definitely it could do with the right size rear tires, because it's sitting with 205s front and rear.
Yeah.
The tachometer isn't working. But having said that, here's the idea.
Yeah.
So let me pitch it to you.
What are you going to do?
Speaking to a man who's dressed in a beautiful red and blue tartan shirt.
I went to a scrapyard and I found an old Porsche and I turned it into a shirt.
So let me give you the stadium pitch. You guys can be my sounding board. So what we're thinking about doing, and Warwick is deferring to me in terms of this project.
As he should.
Okay,
yeah.
So what I'm saying,
you really don't need him making any decisions anymore.
Mechanically, I don't want to do anything. I want to leave the engine. So I want to outlaw this car. So if anyone doesn't know what an outlaw is, there's a guy called Magnus Walker.
Google
it. Anyway, he does his own custom type version. And there are a whole lot of tuners that do these type of things overseas. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't want to take a car and make it unoriginal. But this car is a stories car, so it never will be original again. So what I want want to do with it is keep the color the same. The bodywork is reasonable. It's not bad. It's got a couple of little dings over it, but I like actually a little bit of patina like that. I want to take the wheels. I want to show the petals like an early 911. So basically you take the wheel centers off on the Fuchs, and it makes them look quite retro. I then want to take the rear wing off. The rollover hoop, which is black at the moment, I want to make that silver. So I want to take the, I think they're anodized, so I've got to check like what the process is to get that paint off.
Mm.
Make it silver. Funnily enough, the windshield brightwork is actually silver. So yeah, so it'll pick it up quite nicely.
It should be though, because they're only sort of 78.
Yes, you're right, in terms of 78.
Yeah.
The interior I want to get going on straight away. So what I want to do is retrim the interior completely to make it feel like a new car. So I want to do the leather. I want to do a tobacco leather with a green tartan insert.
Yes, tartan.
Green tartan insert. And then what I want to do is I want to trim the targa top in the same color vinyl as the seats. So like a tobacco thing that'll pick up the colors. And then cool. On the side, I want to put a Porsche decal down the sides, which was like a hark back to like the 911R.
In what way?
And then hold on, there's one last thing. No, I want to do it in bronze.
What's it going to say though? What's it going to say?
It'll say Porsche.
but then, what you said.
Then also, what a secret. Some things are sacred, Tom. Here's the last thing I want to do.
You've got to put the cucaracha
here. Possibly. But then what I want to do is I want to get some extra tartan material, and I want to get two pairs of golf pants made, one pair for me and one for Warwick, to match the seats.
Oh, God.
So, okay.
It was all good until that point.
That's my stadium pitch.
I think it's quite cool. And I like the fact that you're not going to do anything to the exterior. Just keep it as it is and just concentrate on the interior.
Yeah.
That's quite a nice.
I think it'll be cool. And what did you say you're going to call it, Mark? Oh, you haven't said.
You haven't said.
It's a secret.
It's sacred. Because we've got this. Sacred or secret?
Is that the part that's sacred and secret? That it's not a Dutchman Porsche? Okay, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
But here's a question.
Something's left.
This is the color. Your shirt's actually the same color as the Louise Peek Porsche Turbo.
Yeah. The first one.
The first one has got this color interior.
I've seen that car.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah.
Porsche Museum.
That's right.
I think people listening to this must think I have absolutely no taste, but...
Or friends.
But bear with me.
Taste more, yeah.
Yeah.
But hold on.
Bear with me. So first of all, we have to be able to do the deal on the car. So by the time this airs, hopefully the deal's done and that we get it. We're not emotional about it. I mean, there's been enough cars that have come and gone.
You've got to be philosophical.
I really would like actually to get this car. So
yeah, I want you to get it.
I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, me too. It's
anything to get out of the CL600.
Yeah.
I do want to drive the CL600 before it goes.
Sure you do.
I do.
You don't.
I do.
Mark, it'll just break and it'll cost you money.
Awful car. Terrible. That's a blunder.
It was lovely when it was new.
Yeah.
But as a used car that you pulled out of a
disgusting
dumpster. Yeah.
But you know that it is like, it's almost a Pagani Zonda.
It is almost a Pagani Zonda.
It's not. It's like going and finding an old space shuttle and then thinking, here's a great idea. I'm going to turn this into my private plane and then try and fly around the world
exactly
in a space shuttle.
Exactly what it is.
The most overcomplicated, ridiculous, like impractical vehicle ever.
That is the perfect analogy, Thomas.
It is.
Turning a space shuttle into a private plane.
Yeah.
But I must say, you guys really, I know that you are genuinely
my
friends.
We've always got
you've got my back because you have tried to intervene on my relationship with Warwick.
I had a word with Warwick, I said to Warwick, come on, you can't vicariously
live
through
Mark. It's like almost like he's making fun of you through telling you to do things, like a puppet.
He's utilizing your checkbook to live his dreams.
Well, no, we're in it 50-50.
I know, it's your 50 I'm worried about.
Can I ask a sensible question here?
Of course.
I'll
be the judge of it. You ask the question.
If you take the whale tail off, what about the intercooler?
I'm actually thinking about that. It's an interesting one. The intercooler sits slightly proud. Now, I'm actually thinking we may have to fabricate a grill that has a little kink in it.
That would be cool.
Wait.
Or I was thinking about putting one of those racks. One of those little racks.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you put a ducktail in? That could be cool.
I don't like ducktails.
And you must take the bumper off expose the turbo.
Like on a Lamborghini. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Like what you're going to do to your Diablo and taking off the bumper and exposing.
That's proper. Now you're
see,
talking. Now
see,
you're talking.
You guys should be partners on this thing.
No, thanks.
Well, like they do on those, you know, like on old Japanese Skylines when they actually have the oil cooler like outside and have the pipes coming out.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
That could be cool. Kind of like a steampunk, and you could get like nice gold braided hose.
Yeah, because he's doing the silver roll.
Well, I'm definitely going to, I want to take off the side skirt.
Well, now we hope you get it.
Yeah, me
yeah,
too.
I'm actually quite excited about this.
And it's definitely going to be staunched.
You must
properly
also
staunched. We're going to take it properly low. All right, cool. So, I managed to get like a thumbs up. So if I manage to trade into this, then I'm going to be able to go, ha!
There you will.
Thumbs
granted,
up.
But I can't, I'm holding thumbs because at the moment you guys just think I'm an idiot owning a CL.
When you say trade into, it literally is a like for like in terms of money. You're not doing that. If you're going to invest basically the exact sum of money that they want, it's not a trade into. It's giving the CL away.
No, there's value. No, there is profit in there. No, actually there's profit in the car.
Well, I'll be watching.
You heard it.
Well, you're going to be honest with us, Mark.
Of course. Maybe. Okay.
Just the first thing, when you do get the car, change the tensioners because we all know that it's not going to make it.
What are you talking about? Tensioners ain't going to help this turbocharged thing. When this thing blows, it's going to be spectacular.
Awesome. I want to be there to see it happening. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back shortly.
Man, this aircon is racist.
For the latest political news and in-depth discussion and analysis
on events making headlines in South Africa's socio-political space,
join myself, Amil Amrao, and my comrades from the Sunday Times Politics Desk for our Sunday Times Politics Weekly podcast. You can find new weekly episodes on the Times Live website every Wednesday.
This is not a shift.
Can you please come in?
To advertise on the Cargumentative podcast, simply email us at smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za. That's smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za.
Welcome back to Cargumentative. No, it's not Cargumentative.
It's the Mike Show.
It's the Mike Show.
Yeah.
Because Mike went overseas.
Yeah,
I don't know for what. He went to go see the Proteas. He went into the change room.
He wanted to go into the change room. This was the big thing. Mike's been saving up his whole life to go into the change room at Lords.
At Lords.
And then flick towels at each other. Yeah. Something. I don't know.
And drink beer out of old trophies in the bath.
I like to think that my trip was the benchmark for people without hope. So just if you think that you've got no hope in life, just remember that there were three people who went all the way from South Africa to England with the sole aim of watching the Proteas play cricket.
Lose.
At Lords. No, that's
lose
what
at
ended
Lords.
Up happening. So we went into the match.
The change rooms.
That as well. But I can't tell you what went on in the change rooms. It's very, very hush-hush. It's a very secretive society. There's like a handshake and everything to get in there. But,
a lot more than a handshake, I'm sure.
It's a bit of a reach around.
Is that like a googly or something?
I think so.
Yeah, that's a cricket term.
So they're just telling us
just,
about
just
it,
by the way, Lords, even though we played terribly and lost at Lords is an amazing place to go and watch
I'm
cricket.
I'm sure it is.
It really is.
I mean, you said it was smaller than Wanderers.
Slightly smaller, a couple of thousand less in terms of capacity.
Would you say it's the same size as Newlands?
Yeah, I think it feels, but it's not.
Or
it's
Centurion.
Actually, it's only got like 2,000 or 3,000 less than Wanderers, but the area that it takes up is much smaller. But, I mean, I think that...
Are we still talking about cricket?
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say...
Welcome back to the cricket show.
No, please.
Yeah, just so you remember,
I'm nodding
Tom
off.
And I got chastised for discussing cricket on the Cargumentative chat. Yeah.
So we can't do it on the podcast.
Good.
So when you went flicking tiles at Hashim Amla, you were driving cars.
No, so actually I went in on the Friday. I arrived and I went straight to friends of mine in Surrey. I met up with the guy who I own the 930 and the E with, a good friend of mine, David Sass. He actually was on his way to Holland to go and fetch his 550 Maranello that had just been serviced. Interesting.
As you do.
Yeah, he lives in Jersey.
You can't have it serviced in the town where he lives.
No.
Why?
No, because he lives in Channel Islands, and there All they do is damage cars there because they go 30 miles an hour and at a maximum.
That's rust.
Yeah, and that's
and
it.
Salt.
But he goes, he's done on that car, he calls it Bluebird. It's a Tour de France Blue with tobacco interior and matching luggage.
Lovely.
But he's done 30 or 40,000 kilometers in that car. Maybe more, might even be 60,000 kilometers.
He hasn't even had it that long.
Yeah, so he takes that thing into the continent and does brilliant drives with it. In fact, he's actually doing a drive right now. But so he flew in, it was interesting, he got a flight from where he lives into London for £25. So he came in for on the Friday, and my friend Jem Tugwell. So him and his wife Raquel Tugwell. They live in Surrey in the most beautiful, beautiful estate. And they've got a really, really spectacular collection of cars. So they've got about 10 garages there.
10 garages? Like,
yeah.
Like single garages or 10 double garages?
A few doubles and things like that.
Incredible.
So Raquel's got a brand new 991.2 Carrera 4 GTS that was black, but she's had it wrapped in a beautiful purple. That's very similar to like the Jamiroquai
Ultraviolet
car, yeah, that kind of car.
Oh, okay.
So and what she also has is a Murcielago in orange manual.
Oh,
magnificent car!
What a thing!
Jim has a few cars as well. So he's got a Honda NSX, and I'll talk a little bit about that now.
Yeah, that's nice. That's my kind of car.
It really is, and for good reason. Mm. He has a 512 TR, which was amazing. So I sat in that car, didn't get to go for a ride in it. The interesting thing is that it's massively comfortable. The clutch is so light, and
it's
the visibility, very spacious. You know, if I go and compare it to the Diablo, which is pretty much the same era, it's much easier to get into, definitely a lot more comfortable, and as I say, the clutch very light. Then he's got a beautiful, beautiful E-Type Jag, which is like one of the...
Coupe convertible.
So not the 2 plus 2.
Oh, yeah. Proper coupe,
and,
yeah.
And he's busy restoring it. And it's going to be absolutely magnificent. It's the six cylinder, but it's one of the early ones. So
six cylinder is the one to have.
Absolutely, it is the one to have.
Yeah.
And it's not the later one with the bigger bumpers and things like that.
Series one or two.
Yeah, it's a series one. Magnificent. But then he's also got a little Elan, a Lotus Elan that he's restoring. Interesting thing is that thing's like 700 kilos.
Do you know that car inspired the MX-5?
Yes. And you can see it when you stand next to it. You can see it.
Proportionally, you can see it. There's a lot of.
But how's that? Like 700 kilos.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, anyhow, I actually had a sort of like a day that you'd want to be as a groundhog day. So, first we went to Maranello Concessionaires, which is the original Ferrari dealership in England. At one time, it was the only Ferrari dealership.
Really?
It was founded by Colonel Ronnie Hoare. So we went there, and we actually ended up spending like over an hour there. There were some amazing cars. So the most beautiful thing that I saw was an F12 TDF. I could not believe.
What color?
A TDI.
TDF. A Tour de France.
You see, this is all waste on me. I don't know anything about
Ferrari. Latest and greatest.
It
Ferrari.
Was based on the F12, but it was. See, I didn't realize that the TDF. Isn't just an F12 with like a little bit of a body kit. The C-pillar is completely redesigned. The whole rear quarter of the car is completely redesigned with vents that look a bit like the 250 GTO. And I can tell you,
what color was it?
It was a blue. I didn't like the color. It was blue with like a yellow stripe, and then it had like chrome wheels. But it was specifically done. Apparently, the person who bought the car. Originally, does all his cars in that color, but they were selling it for £900,000. But it was quite cool. We sat there. I saw the Portofino in the flesh. Not bad from the rear front. Not great, but actually it doesn't present that badly.
Portofino is replacing the California.
Yeah, the California.
Okay.
So we spent a couple of hours there talking to the salesperson. It was actually really cool. So they do.
What was his name?
I can't remember.
Make it up. Huh?
But they Stuart. so they sell 8 cars a week there. It's interesting.
That's all they need to sell.
But it's a lot. I mean,
even 8 cars a year.
And interesting. So we were talking, and they said that. Guys don't even test drive cars there. They just come in, they have a look, they buy it and move on.
Yeah, a lot of the time, I suppose, it's speculators.
So there are a couple of amazing cars there. They had a 430 manual. Serious car.
I drove one of those. Nice car. Yeah.
Did you driven a manual?
Yeah.
And?
Lovely.
Really?
Yeah, great car.
Like as good as they say?
Maybe not.
Really?
No.
Well, when were you going to tell us? I suppose.
I drove it a long time ago.
It's underrated.
Oh, right.
My cousin's fiance has got one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Manual?
Yeah.
Sure. How's that?
Lovely.
Cool. So our day then, we went from there to a... we drove about half an hour, and we got to a place called Bell Classics. Now, the guy's name is Mike Bell.
Japanese?
No, not yet. We went there, and he's an intriguing guy. So we actually sat in his room. He's busy developing up a carbon fiber bicycle wheel. We actually sat in on the design meeting. It was intriguing that. But they do restorations and servicing on stupidly expensive cars, and they do ground up restorations, and arguably, like you'd say, like the car, a kind of restoration that you could go into a world concourse and win. So
like Villa Deist or
that type of thing. So I saw four cars that were north of £2 million there. Ferrari F50, 275 Ferrari 275 Cabriolet, and Enzo, and then I couldn't believe it, but I managed to get a ride in a car that I subsequently found out was £3 million. An Aston Martin DB4 GT. They made 80 of them.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest of all time.
Completely ground up, restored. And he didn't hold back. He really drove the car. I mean, he was ramming the gears home.
Straight six.
Yeah, straight six. And you could hear it's got almost a bit of a straight cut gearbox whine.
Yeah, yeah.
He drove us.
It's a GT, so
yeah.
It's a proper, they use them in racing. I mean, they race them at Goodwood.
Yeah. So if you're ever, I'm not sure exactly where it is but it's about an hour outside of London. But you have to go to this place. First of all, he's a quality guy. The place is just off the charts. You can eat off the floors. They had an LM002, which is the Lamborghini 4x4, being serviced. He'll take you in the back. You'll see cars being fabricated. In the toilet, he's got a glass floor with a Ferrari Dino engine submerged. And it's,
wow, that's awesome.
So it's one of the most pleasant...
That's very cool.
One of the... most pleasant tinkles I've ever had. So we went also to the place where they fabricate the bodies. So they've got bucks, wooden bucks, which they fabricate the bodies for. They were busy working on a DB5, which is what James Bond drove. Just off the charts. So really, I'm really grateful for that.
And this is all in one day.
All in one day.
But wait.
Then when we got back,
we have to skip.
We went for a drive. So. He has a Ferrari 308 GTS Carb as well. So David took the GTS Carb, and we went out in the NSX.
Yes,
and
the NSX.
And unfortunately, it wasn't insured for me. So he took me for a drive with Raquel in the Mercy behind, and we went down the road. Actually, it's right near Woking, where they test drive the McLarens. They do them before they deliver them. Mm. So in their wraps, they go and take them for a drive, and then they load them onto the trucks and send them.
This is Jem Tugwell.
Yeah, Jem Tugwell. When we got back, Jem, their estate is pretty big, so I didn't drive it far, but I did get it through two gears, the NSX. First of all, being a passenger in it, and he didn't hold back. I was blown away by how drivable that car is. So first of all, like in a Ferrari, you'd go there and you'd have to
warm it up.
But you
go from first to fifth gear,
and they so
it gets up to 80 degrees.
Exactly, and they're recalcitrant, like when they're not warm.
Oh, no.
What was amazing was how he got. The second thing that was really amazing to me was just how brutal the NSX is. First
really?
Of all, very fast.
And the V6 sounds.
But hard, eh? It feels super car hard. As I say, when we got back, I was fortunate enough to take it and drive it. So the gearbox is just so precise, and it properly pulls.
That's when they were making great gearboxes.
Tell
like
me something.
I will say this.
Did they have any kind of VTEC in these motors?
Yeah,
yep, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
No, okay. Characterful like you don't even know. I thought it was going to feel like a bit plasticky and Japanese.
Oh.
But I will say this. You have to drive one. I would have one. Yes, there are.
Yeah,
there are.
You can actually buy one.
There's two or three.
There's a place in Durban you can order one, buy one.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Easily, because
like JDM.
Why haven't you bought one?
So what they are is around £60,000, £60,000 to £70,000.
Which one did you drive?
Was it 3.2?
Flip up lights.
Flip up light 3.2. Okay. Yep.
So was the flip-up line.
Yeah, because they got outlawed.
And did they become bigger engines or smaller?
Yeah, well, no, it had the same engine as us. So this is the 3.2.
But they also came in automatic, which is...
You got them in all sorts of, like
okay.
Well, specs. So you got, like, an S-spec and then this spec and, you know...
So that the one he drove is a good one, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but you know what, I'll say this. I mean, this... It's a car that all of us need to, at some stage, at least drive. but more than likely own.
So what year was that one? Do you know? Was it like 90?
Sure, I'd say it's late. I'd say it like late '90s. Yeah.
And so that's the incredible thing about that car. If you go back in time and you see what the NSX was up against at that time, you're getting a car that is so like incredibly drivable. So
well,
easy.
It was up against the 355 Ferrari.
Yeah, but imagine going downstairs now and driving a 355 and then getting into an NSX, which is just like you turn it on and it goes.
Yeah, I imagine it's not as temperamental.
It's not. Yeah. And it's probably better to drive. And yet people kind of overlook them because they don't have a Ferrari badge on them. But
I think people appreciate them. I think they really do. I think it might have been overlooked because it was a V6, maybe, which I have nothing to complain about. I mean,
it sounds good.
The new V6 Ford GT's are V6.
I sent you guys the video of it.
XJ20 revving.
As I say, it was just one of those days that I wish could have gone on forever. And like, I'm really grateful for the guys.
Sounds like you were lucky.
I'll say this. Jim,
sounds
top
like
class
the
guy.
Girls looked after you.
Top class guy, as is Raquel and David. But just because of the way that you guys have behaved, Jim is going to be listening to this. There's no way that you're ever getting a ride in any of his cars. Because you guys need to go and have
well,
a thing.
Well, thank God Mark wasn't here today because he'll still get a drive. Mark, I and Nadav shouldn't have spoken the way I was speaking.
Yeah. All right. But yeah. And I did finish off the trip by being in central London and you just see the most ridiculous cars just driving around. It doesn't matter where you are. I mean, I saw E-Types being driven, pagodas.
It's also completely pointless because taxi, you can't park there, yeah, you can't true. Drive there, it's you true. Can't yeah. indicate more than five times.
But you see,
draws extra current from the battery.
But
and
you see ridiculous cars. I saw one of my ultimate cars, actually. It was a 355 Berlinetta, which is the non-convertible one, manual in yellow.
But you could have an NSX and actually drive it every day.
Giallo Fly.
And not have to wait for, like, things to warm up.
But enough about me.
enough about you. Okay. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about us next week.
Argumentative is done.
Next week is our time, Mark.
It's our turn.
Nadav, I mean, next week is our week.
Yeah. Nadav and Tom.
Guys, we're out of time on our new compact, sleek, slim-down show, but we'll be back next week for another episode.
Wait, before you do that, remember to subscribe. Remember to like us. I don't know, what else can they do?
Like, subscribe.
They can comment. It would be nice if someone would actually tell us, are we any good at what we're doing?
Probably not. Maybe
Producer Paige thinks we should can this whole show.
Don't comment.
And we think, no. She does not.
She thinks we're amazing.
No, she does. She does.
We think you're amazing.
Stop.
Guys, thanks a lot for joining me again. And we'll be back next week for another episode of Cogumentative.
Thanks.